Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Great to have you with us today. Those of you who have been with us regularly know that my voice is a little worn from some speaking and some media I've been doing, but I would not want to miss the great teachings that we're receiving from Derek Prince. We're in the middle of a series now by Derek Prince called God's Disguises. It's just a wonderful teaching about how God reveals himself in the way that he takes on different personas, a child, a carpenter, etc. And part of the art of walking by faith, part of the art of knowing our God is knowing when he comes to us, knowing when he comes to us in the form of a prophet or comes to us in some form that we ought to recognize. When we see the handprint of God, the fingerprint of God on a life, on a soul, we need to recognize it. We need to welcome it. Listen, get your Bible, get a notebook, get something to write with, because this is a fascinating teaching and you're going to be changed by what you hear. As Derek continues to teach us on God's disguises.
Today, I'm going to speak about another disguise that God regularly uses, a child. Many, many times, God comes to us in the disguise of a child. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." And then a little further on in verse 10, "See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." God sets great value upon children. In fact, as I understand that scripture, every child has an angel appointed to guard it, who has direct access to the presence of Almighty God and has to give God a report on what happens to that child. And Jesus says, if a child is put in your way by God and you receive that child, you're receiving him. But if you reject that child, if you refuse to help that child, in reality, you're rejecting Jesus. And also he said, if you should do something even worse, and cause such a little child to sin. And remember, our contemporary society is full of men and women who are doing this. Jesus said it would be better for such a person to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea, rather than to incur the guilt of causing a child to sin. So when Jesus sets a child before us, he identifies himself with that child. Our response to the child is our response to Jesus. And God's angel in heaven is watching over that child and watching how we respond to that child. You see, we come back to the same principle. So often God disguises himself in the weak, the unimpressive, the improbable, the unconventional. Don't you take it for granted that you'll know when God comes into your life. He'll come in a disguise, and unless your heart is open, you'll miss him. And you may be guilty of rejecting God without even knowing that he came to you. The principle that God requires us to care for children in need is very clear throughout the whole scripture, Old Testament and New. Let me read some words of James in James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. This speaks about what true religion really is. And it says a number of significant things. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, He deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. That writes off a lot of contemporary religion. A person who doesn't control his tongue, God will not accept his religion. That means that gossips and slanderers and talebearers and people who exaggerate, people who criticize, God doesn't accept their religion at all. And then we come on to the positive. What is the kind of religion that God is looking for? The next verse, verse 27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. There's two aspects to that kind of acceptable religion. One is positive, the other is negative. The positive is stated first. It is to look after orphans and widows in their distress. Then the negative is to keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. Unfortunately, I see in so much contemporary Christianity such an emphasis on the negative. Not being involved with the world, not being polluted by the world, keeping yourself separate, not going here, not going there, not doing this, not doing that. A lot of which, I think, is often just human regulations. But such people so often have totally missed the positive, the first part, which is to look after orphans and widows in their distress. And the way we respond to children in need is the way we respond to God. Now I want to say a little on this subject from personal experience. I think I can speak on this subject from personal experience. My first wife, Lydia, and I raised a family of 9 adopted girls. 6 were Jewish, 1 was English, 1 was Arab, the youngest was African, a black African. When I married my second wife, she brought me 3 adopted children. So now between us, we're responsible for 12 adopted children. So you see, I'm not just talking from theory, but from experience. I want to tell you this, friends. Our world today is full of children in need all over the world, and not all outside this country. There are plenty in this country, plenty elsewhere. And it's in our power, in many cases, to help them, either directly or indirectly. For many years now, I have systematically provided support for 2 orphans in India and 1 in Korea. I don't say this to boast, but what's the good of preaching if we don't practice what we preach? It doesn't cost me much, and I'm keeping 3 children alive, giving them the opportunity of a Christian education. Let me close by reading some words of James again, in James 4:17. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. See, sin is not just sins of commitment. So many times it's sins of omission. Perhaps God has come to you in the person of a little child, or is going to come. What are you going to do about it?
I think Derek makes a powerful point here just at the end of this teaching. He says that the issue really is not just that we recognize God's coming, we recognize the personas God takes, but that we respond to it. As Derek says, when God comes to you as a little child, what are you going to do about it? More to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Christmas is a wonderful time to share with family, to give gifts, and to thank God for the blessings that have come through His Son, Jesus. In his heartwarming story, A Stormy Christmas in the Holy Land, Derek Prince shares his extraordinary firsthand account of the harrowing, yet glorious days in December of 1947, a time in which he, his wife Lydia, and their 9 adopted daughters found themselves caught in a spiritual and literal crossfire during the days leading up to the birth of Israel as a nation. As Derek recounts, "Looking back over that stormy Christmas, I realized that it taught me the very real message of Christmas, stripped of all of its externals and non-essentials. That message is Emmanuel, God with us. We believe you'll find it very meaningful in the days to come. So we would like to send you a copy of A Stormy Christmas in the Holy Land, absolutely free. Call us toll free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And don't forget that you still have plenty of time to support the outreach of Derek Prince Ministries with your special year-end tax-deductible gift. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771 or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Delighted that you're with us. We're working through a powerful teaching with Derek Prince on God's disguises, how God comes in various forms as a child, as a carpenter, etc. It's a marvelous teaching that's fine-tuning our spiritual perception. Let's listen as Derek teaches us.
In my previous talks, I've spoken about three disguises that God has used. The first, the carpenter's son, Jesus of Nazareth. Second, God's messengers. And third, a child. Today, I'm going to speak about one more disguise that God has often used and still uses today, his persecuted people. God suffers with his persecuted people. He identifies himself with them. And the way we treat them is reckoned as the way we treat God himself. This is brought out so clearly in the example of Saul of Tarsus. When Saul of Tarsus is introduced in the New Testament, he's the number one persecutor of that strange new sect in Jerusalem that came to be known as the Nazarenes, or the people that followed the way, those whom we today would identify as Christians. Not content with persecuting the Christians in Jerusalem, Paul decided that he was going to stamp out this sect in every city. And so he obtained authority from the chief priests in Jerusalem to go to the city of Damascus and there arrest and deal with any followers of Jesus he might find. However, as he was on the way from Jerusalem to Damascus, you will recall he had an unexpected encounter with Jesus himself. This is the description of the encounter, and I want you to note particularly the way in which Jesus spoke to Saul of Tarsus. Of course, Saul of Tarsus later became the great apostle Paul. In Acts 9, verses 1 through 6. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, that's Christians, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." You notice what Jesus asked Saul. He didn't say, "Why are you persecuting my people, my followers, my disciples?" He said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And when Saul asked who he was, he said, "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting." You see, God's people don't suffer alone. They may suffer terribly, but always God is with them in their sufferings. He's identified with them if they're suffering for his name and for his glory and in obedience to him. And the way we deal with those people is the way we deal with God. That's a disguise that many rulers and leaders of society throughout the ages didn't penetrate. They persecuted the humble, poor people of God, didn't realize that they were actually dealing with God himself in his people. So we need to understand that Jesus identifies himself with his persecuted people. It's particularly important to understand this as this age draws to its close, because Jesus himself warned his followers that as this age draws to a close, there will be worldwide persecution of Christians, followers of Jesus. This is what he says in Matthew 24, verses 4 through 9. Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ or the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places, things that we are seeing today all around the world." Then he goes on, "All these are the beginning of birth pains, the birth pains of a new age. But then he adds in reference to this period, then you, that's his disciples, you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. So you see, there's going to be worldwide persecution of the followers of Jesus. I advise you, and I advise myself, let's be on our guard that we never take the wrong side, that we never in any way allow ourselves to become identified with the persecutors of the people of Jesus. Because if we do, we're going to have to answer to God as if we had treated God himself that way. On the other hand, those who receive and show mercy to the people of God will in turn qualify for God's mercy. This is what Jesus says in Matthew 10, 41 and 42. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. When we penetrate the disguise and see who it is we're dealing with and accept them for what they are in God and for how God sees them, then we qualify for the same reward as that person. If the person is a prophet, we qualify for a prophet's reward. If the person is a righteous man, we qualify for a righteous man's reward. And then Jesus goes on and says it comes down to very simple basics. If anyone gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. In other words, we're going to be judged by God for the way we deal with God's people, especially when they're being persecuted, especially when they're in need, especially when it would be easy to turn our back on them and say, well, it's their fault, they shouldn't have been so religious, or they should have been more careful about how they spoke. Many, many things. There's going to be a real pressure to turn against God's persecuted people as this age comes to its close. But remember, when we do that, we're turning against God himself.
Aren't you glad that God identifies with the persecuted, with the hurting, with the downtrodden? Aren't you glad that he identifies himself with the persecuted people in the Bible and the brokenhearted time after time again? This is one of the great keys in recognizing the coming of God, not only in the Bible, but in our generation. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Christmas is a wonderful time to share with family, to give gifts, and to thank God for the blessings that have come through his Son, Jesus. In his heartwarming story, A Stormy Christmas in the Holy Land, Derek Prince shares his extraordinary first-hand account of the harrowing yet glorious days in December of 1947, a time in which he, his wife Lydia, and their 9 adopted daughters found themselves caught in a spiritual and literal crossfire during the days leading up to the birth of Israel as a nation. As Derek recounts, looking back over that stormy Christmas, I realized that it taught me the very real message of Christmas, stripped of all of its externals and non-essentials. That message is Emmanuel, God with us. We believe you'll find it very meaningful in the days to come. So we would like to send you a copy of A Stormy Christmas in the Holy Land, absolutely free. Call us toll free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And don't forget that you still have plenty of time to support the outreach of Derek Prince Ministries with your special year-end tax-deductible gift. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Delighted that you're with us. We are learning so much in a series by Derek Prince called God's Disguises. We're learning about how God comes to his people and the condition of heart that recognizes him when he does come. Let's listen.
I've said that Jesus identifies himself with his people who are persecuted. I want to add and to emphasize that this includes those who are his brothers by natural birth, that is, the Jewish people. In Revelation 5, Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. In other words, he's eternally identified in a special way with Judah. And Judah is the name from which we get the word Jew or Jewish. So Jesus, in a certain sense, is eternally identified with the Jewish people. And the way we treat the Jewish people is going to be reckoned to us as the way we've treated their great elder brother, their king whom they have not yet recognized, Jesus himself. You see, Israel is becoming more and more the focus of world leaders and governments. Every day you read something in the paper about Israel. That tiny little nation of 3.5 million people is the focus of world news and world attention. This is not an accident. God has arranged it because he's going to judge the nations by the way they relate to Israel. Just let me quote to you one sentence from the prophet Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8, spoken concerning the Jewish people. Whoever touches you touches the apple of God's eye. Remember that. When you speak about the Jews, when you think about them, when you take your stand or attitude concerning them, when you touch them, you're touching the most sensitive part of God, the very apple of his eye. Let's be on our guard.
Derek is teaching us about the persecution of the Jews and how God identifies with them as a persecuted people. And you know, that continues into our generation. Just this past week or two, I've done some major media interviews all about anti-Semitism in America and how it's on the rise. And so these are things that touch the heart of God and continue even into our generation. David Holland, thanks for being with me to help me process some of this. How do you see it?
It's a pleasure to be here, Stephen. You know, we really are living in a season in which, very sadly, we are seeing a rising tide of anti-Semitism all around the world, even right here in the United States.
That's right.
And tragically, even among some segments of the body of Christ, anti-Semitic feeling, there was not an immunity from it there. And I'm particularly reminded of that. Here we're sitting about a week out from the end of the Hanukkah celebrations for Jews all around the world. Will have been commemorating the great deliverance that they experienced during a great time of persecution, a couple hundred years before the birth of Christ. Here in a week or so, we're going to be commemorating the birth of Christ. And in the midst of all of that, we have a story by Derek Prince, an article that he wrote many years ago about the extraordinary events surrounding the birth of Israel and an experience at Christmas time he and his family had there. Derek and Lydia Prince and the 8 adopted daughters that they had there in Israel were witnesses to the birth of Israel and the war and the conflict and the danger that was associated with all of that at another time of great persecution of Israel as a people and as a nation. And in this article that's called A Stormy Christmas in the Holy Land, Derek relates those events and ties them very beautifully into the meaning and the events of the Christmas story. It's really a profoundly moving story, very exciting article to read, and it's our special resource that we're making available to anyone who asks, free for the asking, this month. All they have to do is call, click, or write and let us know they'd like to receive the free article by Derek Prince called A Stormy Christmas in the Holy Land, and we're happy to get it right out to them. That's derekprince.org. You can request it there, or you can call us and let us know that you'd like to receive it. We'll have that number for you in just a moment.
You know, David, I was with Derek just in his last months, and we actually in the last year of his life, and we spent some time talking about that night, and it still touched him. He still teared up over God's grace that night and what his family endured. So it's a powerful, powerful story that really lapsed over all of his decades of life.
I think anyone who receives it and reads it will find their Christmas this year more meaningful than they've had in
the past. I think you're right. Buddy, thanks for being with me.
My pleasure.
Listen, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow on Thursday as the legacy continues.
To request your copy of Derek's heartwarming story, A Stormy Christmas in the Holy Land, call us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And take this opportunity to show your support of Derek Prince Ministries with your special year-end tax-deductible gift. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or request your free copy of A Stormy Christmas in the Holy Land, securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is produced by Derek Prince Ministries in association with Audio Aviators. Find out more about Derek Prince online at derekprince.org.